Let's greet the people next to us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first service is very important worship. Maybe this be a time where you enjoy the blessings of the children of God. The very first message of this series was that I who have received salvation possess eternal life. We possess the eternal life where we can never perish. It's 100% you are children of God. But as you live in this world, Satan deceives you so that you cannot enjoy the blessing of children of God. That's why God also gave us the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Satan is alive right now working. And he has become the God, the ruler, the king of this world. And at times he masquerades as an angel. And with beauty, with knowledge, he tempts you and deceives you. That's why after we have been saved, God himself dwells inside of you. And is right now, is giving you the strength, the power to fight against Satan. And is leading, guiding your life. So every single day, we have to fight this spiritual battle and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is really with us, and when you pray 100%, you'll receive answers. And so today's title is, I now possess the key. The key. In other words, you have the condition to receive. You have received the rights to receive answers to prayer. So now you must enjoy the gospel through prayer. It's not just about knowing the gospel. Now that you know the gospel with prayer, you have to continue to enjoy the gospel. And why is that? From God's perspective, and when Satan also looks at you, the prayer enjoying the gospel is the most important. Because when you are able to pray and join the gospel, God is very pleased. Why? Because you are enjoying the covenant. But from Satan's perspective, when you enjoy the gospel, Satan is in trouble. That's why Satan will work against you so that you can enjoy this gospel. So when you enjoy the gospel in prayer, Satan is bound. Right? It's not religious, like if you can receive answers or not, or if answers come to you or not. That's secondary. Before that, the force of darkness that's working against you must be seized, must be bound. That's why the prayer of enjoying the gospel is very important. Then to enjoy the gospel, worship is very important. And so during worship, you have to enjoy the gospel, the prayer of enjoying the gospel. Satan deceives you so that you cannot worship. Because it is the time of worship when all the blessings of your life is given to you. And when you know that, Satan is in trouble. That's why Satan will deceive you so that you'll lose hold of worship. Right? The Israelites became slaves because they lost hold of the gospel. Israelites, when they became captives because they lost hold of the gospel. Why did the Israelites become colonized? Why was there warfare? Why did a lot of incidents take place and warfare took place among the Israelites? Because they lost hold of the gospel. That's why God called Moses. And to the Israelites who were living a life as slaves, God told Moses, to tell the Israelites to take them out of Egypt and to worship God in the wilderness. That's how important worship is. We can just worship, but if you look at the early church, they worshiped in enjoying the gospel in prayer. So don't just give worship, but during this time of worship, may you find all the answers. May you find all the solutions. And that's the true blessing. You may face difficulties because of people, conflicts in people, but it is at that time you must enjoy the gospel in prayer. Then you will revive yourself, that person, and you will restore the relationship. If you don't enjoy the gospel and see the other person from your view, from your spiritual state, you only think about finding them. We are people who are not trying to get away from people. We have to live among people. Then that means that you'll face many hardships and conflicts and troubles because of people. And you may suffer because of people. But on the other hand, you can also receive blessings because of other people. So may you become individuals that receive blessings because of people. Because when they receive the gospel, they will change. In all your jobs and your works and all your studies and events, there may be hardships. But it is during that time where you must endure the gospel in prayer. It is very important. Because the moment you lose hold of the gospel, the works that you were doing will not go so well. It seems like it's going to work, but it won't. It seems that people are going to help you. In the end, they won't help you. And those instances will happen. So, in all the work that you do, please enjoy the gospel. Not just the physical work, but in every incident and every hardship, overcome it and enjoy the gospel. So in every instance, please enjoy the gospel in prayer. And even in evangelism and missions, continue to enjoy the gospel. You cannot evangelize if you do not enjoy the gospel. If you can't enjoy the gospel, right, you're going to think, oh, I don't want to give a missions offering. It's in vain. So even do evangelism or missions, you have to continue to enjoy the gospel. Now, today we see Peter's confession. Peter gives his confession of faith. That is when, introduction number one, God gave the keys of heaven to Peter. This is the condition of prayer, the condition to receive answers to prayer. I will give you the keys. So this means 100% we will receive answers to prayer. We rightfully receive answers. Why is that? When Peter confessed, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by blood and flesh, but it is my Father in heaven. And I'll tell you that Peter, you're Peter on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The confession that Peter gave was a confession that was restored after 700 years. What does that mean? So before Peter confesses 700 years ago, it was in the time of Isaiah, when Isaiah wrote Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. In Matthew 16:16, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Until this period, there was 700 years. And so, after Isaiah wrote Isaiah 7:14, 700 years later, Peter confessed Matthew 16:16. So Jesus was very excited and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Because Jesus was very happy that this gospel was restored after 700 years. And that's what God promised. I will give you all blessings. Whatever you pray, I will answer you. That's why Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So this confession is no ordinary confession. The reason why we're evangelizing is not just because we have to evangelize. It's a confession of faith where God is truly happy. That's why, do you think God will only give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It's a confession of faith that was restored after 700 years. Do you think God will only give the keys of heaven? No. Jesus said, I will give you all authority in heaven and on earth. So it's an amazing confession of faith. And so today, you have been restored this status. This blessing has been given to you. Right? I will open the doors of heaven. And think about it, the doors of heaven are open. No one can close that. And if someone God closes the door of heaven, no one can open it. Right after this confession of faith was restored for after 700 years, God promised that will give you all the answers to prayer whenever you pray, and your doors of heaven open. So don't look at your situation, your environment. Don't look only at the problem, because God gave you this blessing. The one with all authority in heaven and on earth is with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever you ask, believe that you will receive. The gospel that's restored after 700 years. So what do we possess? We possess the key. We have the condition, the criteria to receive answers when we pray. When you pray, rightfully you will receive answers because that right has been given to you. So do not worry, but pray to God. Do not think of your thoughts, but pray to God. Now, God is with you. We're not ones who don't have the key. No, we have the key. But how come I have no answers? I have been given the key. But how come I can't open the door with my key? Why is that? Because number two, why cannot we receive answers? It's because we are praying the incorrect prayer. That's why Jesus taught his disciples, what is the incorrect prayer? In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so we have to quickly fix my incorrect prayer. Is the prayer I'm praying right now truly the prayer that God desires or not? Or am I praying the incorrect prayer continuously? You have to really examine that today. And I bless in Jesus Christ, you start praying the correct prayer from today. God promised, he gave me the keys. To those who confess that, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hades, Satan can't overcome you. You are the temple of God. Nothing can take away this God and this blessing away from you. So you have been given an amazing blessing from God. Now you possess this key. Then what we have to change is change my incorrect prayer. Now, what is my incorrect prayer? Now, as a conclusion-wise, it's the physical prayer. So what is this physical prayer? Jesus taught his disciples about what is a physical prayer. And he used the example of the prayer of the Pharisees. He said, you don't have to pray like these Pharisees. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. Jesus teaching prayer to his disciples. And then he used the parable of the Pharisees, the example of the Pharisees. And they're saying, look at them, they are praying the incorrect prayer. That's why they have no answers. And Jesus is speaking of the opposite of the mindset of these Pharisees. At times we pray this religious prayer. And at times we are praying the same way other religions are praying. That's how we learn prayer. That's how we experience prayer. That's how we teach prayer. That's how we saw and learned. So we are losing the most important prayer that God desires, and we are praying. That's why, truthfully, there are not many answers. It's not that we don't have the key. No, we possess the key, but because we are praying the incorrect prayer, we're not receiving answers. So, because you possess eternal life, you possess the Holy Spirit to fight the spiritual battle, now you have to pray correctly. You have to pray correctly. And Jesus says something that the Pharisees don't want to hear. There are the 8 blessings. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus spoke of words that the Pharisees don't want to hear. And Jesus is saying that is prayer. And why is that? These Jewish Pharisees, from childhood, they were people of prayer. In one sense, they are people who pray the most. But they pray in front of people. They pray outside. They don't pray in the empty rooms by themselves. No, they pray in front of people. And they are very, very physical. And just with this one thought process, you can receive a lot of answers or not. And why is Jesus talking about this? The Pharisees don't have the heart. They're just, memorizing the scriptures. They're just saying things with their mouth. They don't have that heart. Now why did God say, why did Jesus bless are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn? Because Jesus knows that the Jewish people are gonna perish through the Roman people. And the Jewish people they're on the brink of destruction, yet they're not mourning. And they're just praying for themselves. And so they're praying the incorrect prayer. In other words, today, right? I'm in a difficult situation. I have financial problems. I have family problems. And my life is so difficult. So we always pray so that God will loosen up our problems. He will get rid of our problems. That's the same prayer as the Pharisees. So they pray before people in Matthew chapter 6. There's no meaning in that. There's no meaning in praying in front of people. Whenever you pray, the represent prayer, whatever prayer it is, you have to pray before God. Don't try to use good words to make other people, think well of you. No, you must pray the very genuine, honest prayer before God. And that is the prayer that God is truly happy. And there's the story of the Jesus' teaching of the mountain. And you may see that in Matthew chapter 6 that the content of the prayers of the Pharisees is prayer of the flesh. So when you have time, please read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I can't explain everything, but please do so in your own time. And you see the content of the prayer of the Pharisees, and it's all very physical. And if you only pray the physical prayer, then that's the same as non-believers. It's the same as believers who do, or non-believers who do idol worship. That's why you have to pray the spiritual prayer. And why is that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Just as your soul is well. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, just as your soul is well, in all that you do, it will be well. In other words, by changing your spiritual state first, you can resolve the physical problems of your life. If you do not change spiritually, no matter how much you change the physical things, you will fall into that physical problem once again. That's why Jesus told us to pray like this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. First, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Then in all that you do, I will give you. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Himself says, you do not have to pray the physical prayer because God in heaven knows. God knows everything that you need. God knows even what you're going to ask for beforehand. Are we praying to God because God doesn't know what we need or what we think? God knows my heart. He knows deep within my heart. Right? We connect through the Holy Spirit. Even times of hardship and suffering, when we cannot pray, the Holy Spirit inside of me is praying the intercessory prayer for me, right? God knows every aspect of your life. Not because He is God. Are you praying to God because God doesn't know your suffering? You want God to know your suffering? No. We are praying to God because God is the answer. Because He has a solution, we are praying to God, right? So if you're praying like non-believers praying for the physical answers, that's the incorrect prayer. Then does that mean don't pray the physical prayer? No, I'm not saying that. But pray for the will of God, right? That's what's important. And Jesus teaches us how to pray. How must we pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a physical prayer, right? That's a spiritual prayer. Then pray, thy kingdom come. May your kingdom come. And that's not physical at all. That's the prayer that Jesus taught, right? The Lord's Prayer. And just as it is in heaven, may be done on earth. That's a spiritual prayer. And forgive us of our sins. Help us not to be deceived. To be tempted, help us not to fall into sin. And give all the glory to God. But there is one physical prayer. Give us our daily bread. And say, pray for our daily bread. That means just don't worry about tomorrow. Just pray for today's bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right, look at the animals. God is taking care of them when they don't have any houses. God is feeding them. Then how about you? You're a children of God. Right? God is in complete control of our life, death, blessing, and curse. God knows ahead of us what we need, what we are in need of. So you have to change your prayer. And we might come to church because we were in pain. Or you might come to church because you have so much difficulties, hardships, and sufferings. And through that, you can meet God. But that's the method of how God called you. through your pain, through your suffering, through your hearts, through the family issues, through the complicated things of your life, so that you can meet God. God gave you that opportunity. And that's how you met God. Then now, God desires for God's kingdom to come. And when you continue to pray for God's kingdom to come, your family issues will be healed, your health issues will be healed. Why? Because you are, right, to fulfill God's will, to bring God's kingdom to earth, you need health, you need economy, you need these answers. That's why God gives you more when you seek for God's will. In other words, problems will be solved. But if you lose God's will and say, Lord, please give me what I want or solve my problems. Lord, take away my pain. Nothing to do with God's will. Just like non-believers, when non-believers are in suffering and hardship, right, they just pray on whatever they can. But there's no truth in that. They're just praying so that they can get rid of that suffering. But as children of God, we have the truth. We have the Word of God. We have God's covenant. We have God's will. Fulfilling that will of God is prayer. Then we have to hold on to God's Word and pray. Praying without truth is not prayer. That's religious. There's nothing for you to worry about of your problems. If you really enjoy the gospel, there's nothing to worry about. Because God already promised to give you all the answers. So do not worry. There's really nothing to worry about. And I believe in Jesus Christ, you'll factually enjoy this. It's very important. And how important is this? In Matthew chapter 7, we continue to see the incorrect prayer. And look at these Pharisees. They pray this legalistic prayer. Right? Why would they have quarrels? Why would they fight against people? Why would they, you know? And all these Pharisees, whatever they said, whatever they do, it was all legalistic. So they were bound by legalism. They did not change legalism. And, you know, without changing your legalistic mind, you're just giving hardship, or you're giving scars to people. Even though you are not doing it, because it's the law, you tell others. Right? You're in pain as well. But you want others, at least someone else, to help others and help me. That's why you give the law. Or you say, you speak of the law. When you see the quarrels in the family, it's the same. That's why it's always about you're better, you're not better, you're worse, or you can do it, you can't do it. And that's always the level we're always in. That itself means that legalism is very, very physical. And you're losing hold of the spirituality. Then you cannot pray the spiritual prayer. That's why it is essential for us to pray of enjoying the gospel. Don't enjoy legalism, enjoy the gospel. Do not see from your perspective. When you see people, when you do your work, and everything that you do, enjoy the gospel. By doing so, you will truly revive. And by doing so, you can heal. And by doing so, you can give strength to others. Truthfully, as we live our lives, we're not doing things because we don't want to do them. We want to do things, but we can't do it, right? I want to live well, but I can't live well right now. I worked hard, but I still can't live well. But when you live with someone, you start to know their personality, their character, their lifestyle, their habits. And because you start to see that, you start to criticize that and judge that. But the person judging and criticizing, you know, what would the people who's being criticized think about them, right? It's the same. Right? It's the same. That person criticizing me and being criticized, the same people. Our Elder O and Pastor Dew's height is the same. But if you say that it's the same, Elder O is going to be a little angry because he's a little taller. From our perspective, they're the same height. Right? You're just comparing the two same things. But these dirty things are hidden within of us, and that has become our standard. That has become our level. And you're just speaking of what you have experienced. But in the end, you're just filling your own need. You're praying God to fill your own need. Lord, you're saying, Lord, fill my need. And if you can't fill the need, or God doesn't fill your need, then you are in hardship and you start to suffer more and more. And that's very, very physical. But the Pharisees are judging others by what they are doing well, what they're not doing well, and they're just having quarrels about this. That is not prayer. I bless you, Jesus Christ. You pray the correct prayer. Right? For students to go to school, it's normal. When someone gives you a job, it's normal for you to do well in that job. There's no reason for you to find answers in that because it's normal. It's a rightful thing, right? But if you're doing beyond, you're doing below common sense, and you're saying, oh, I should pray to receive, you know, a good score on my test. What do you think God would say to you? God would say, why don't you just work harder? Don't worry about other things. Just concentrate on your studies. That's the answer God's going to give to you. Do we have to pray for everything? No. Common sense and spirituality is two different things. The things of the world, it's common sense, right? Rightfully, you have to study. Rightfully, you have to learn. Rightfully, yeah, if a job is given to you, you have to be, you know, diligent and do well in that job. There's no reason for you to pray for that then. But what's really important? It's a spiritual part. So main content. Answers are bound to come to us. Why? Because we are children of God. Because we are children of God. Rightfully, God will answer us. That is our status. That's why Jesus said, whatever you seek in my name, you will receive. So pray to God. Pray with your status of child of God. Enjoy the status of a child of God. That is prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Jesus gave the parable. A friend came, and asleep at night, but someone is continuing knocking on the door and is telling me, give me something. Give me something. But this friend was tired of that. You know, would even open the door and listen. But the friend knows that that person is in the house, but the person doesn't come out. But this person continues to knock the door because the person knows there's someone in the door, inside the house. That's when the person finally opens the door. And then what does Jesus say? Right, knowing that there is someone in the house who can give you, you continue to knock. Then is there someone who's not going to give you if you keep on knocking? But did that person give because that person was tired of being asked? No. Because it is his friend, he gave it to you. In other words, it's the relationship. It's the condition of that relationship. We are children of God. We have the condition of the child of God. And that's what the Almighty God promised, the blessings of everything to you. That's why God is telling you to pray. Right? being a friend, that is the condition to receive answers. Because he is your friend, you give it to him. It's the condition where you have to give it to them. That's what Jesus says, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, the door will open. And then Jesus said, the son comes to the father and asks for fish. What kind of father will give the snake? The son is asking for this. Why would the father give something else? So God said this. Jesus said this. Wouldn't the Father in heaven not give you the Holy Spirit? So what is the best thing for us? For the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. That for me to possess the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to be with me. And if the Holy Spirit is with you, it's finished. If the Holy Spirit works, it is finished. In conditions where it's impossible, in conditions where it seems difficult and from your standard, knowing that it's not going to work, but God has a plan. And if you discover that plan, then the Holy Spirit works and changes and gives you the answer for it to work. And so every single day, pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest prayer. Your greatest prayer is being filled by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. There is this evil judge, right? Rejects God, rejects people, and looks down on people, and rejected this widow. But this widow went to this judge and says, please fix my problem. But this judge who rejected God, who rejected people, finally resolved the problem for the widow. What you must pray with the passion that God desires the most. Right, praying with the heart that, you know, pleases God, that God desires. So that's why don't be discouraged. And in verse 8 it says, he sees those who have faith. If you continue to pray for physical things, you'll be discouraged. If you keep on living a life of prayer with the physical things, unless you see special answers, you'll always be discouraged. So what's the condition? Don't be discouraged. Because God sees those who have faith. If you don't have faith, you'll be discouraged. And so Jesus is speaking of the parable, talking about this farmer who knows that there's a treasure. He was not discouraged. Why was he not discouraged? Because no one else went there. And why didn't he go to someone else and receive, go to help? Because this woman knew that the only one that has the solution to my problem is this judge. Who is the one who can give you the correct answer? It's only Christ. Only Christ is the answer to your life. He's the only solution. That's why when you look up to Christ, you must not be discouraged. You must not be worried. Pray to God with what He desires. That's the prayer that 100% grants you answers. God says He will give it to you. Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31. Why are you discouraged? We are living our lives where we are living for the physical things every single day. Right? Every day our thoughts might be very complicated. And our thoughts may be filled with difficulties, with negativity, with hardships, with suffering. And these problems that make us suffer don't leave us. And we worry and we're always worried. Always tired because of that problem. We lose all the strength. And we're living in that kind of state every day. That's why God said this. Have you not heard? Have you not seen? Those who seek the Lord will regain new strength. Have you not heard? Have you do not know? Right? Seek the Lord. Don't be seized by the physical things, but seek the Lord. Pray to God. And when you pray, everything will be restored. In Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 9. They say we're suffering because of the physical things. That's when Prophet Jeremiah is telling the Israelites to come back, quickly come back to the Lord. But because he said that, he was imprisoned. But that is when God came before Jeremiah, when he was in prison, when he was in the courtyard. It's the Lord God who fulfills, who works. Right? I, the Lord your God, says, call my name, and I will answer you. And I will show you things that you cannot understand. When we pray, the things that we prayed up until now, God will show us the things that we haven't experienced yet, and he will work in that as well. That's prayer. So pray the prayer of restoring my spirituality every single day. Restore it every day in prayer. If you do not restore spiritual state, your spirituality, then you will face all these hardships and you have so much stress that you have physical problems, lifestyle problems, mental problems. You'll always be in fear. You'll always be in suffering. May you pray your spirituality to restore every day, right? I will show you things that you cannot search. And it's these spiritual things that will restore you, that will give you strength. So don't worry, but pray the prayer of restoration. Who is the most sad person? The pitiable first person? Is it the person who is lacking money? No. It's the people who cannot understand spiritually. It's not even mental issue, mental patients. The people that suffer the most is, yes, of course, it's the people who are struggling physically, struggling mentally because of the physical problems. But truthfully, they're struggling because they don't know the spiritual things. And their soul is filled with diseases. Their mind is filled with diseases. And their heart is filled with these hatred. That's why they're always judging, always criticizing, and in vain. Whoever it is, that's the course that you will go through. If you cannot enjoy the gospel, Satan will continue to make you live that kind of lifestyle. That's what Satan does. That is why pray the spiritual prayer. Become the people of the Spirit. Restore yourself spiritually. Pray the prayer of restoring yourself spiritually. That is the prayer that God taught. Right, when Jesus was arising these miracles, the disciples became arrogant because of that. But, look at these disciples. Jesus gave them one prayer topic. Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power and you become witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You don't need a lot of prayer topics. It's just one thing. What? Filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you power from above. Give you strength from above. That's the promise that God, Jesus gave to his disciples. So our prayer is a spiritual prayer. Then God's Holy Spirit will work. And the heavenly angels will work. So how come we don't have any answers? The reason why you do not have answers. Number two. Because you do not pray. You have a lot of time of worry, but you do not pray. You have a lot of time of, you know, being anxious, but you do not pray. You think so much of human methods, of what you can do, who's going to help you, but you do not pray to God. Then rightfully, you will not receive answers. Also, you have wrong motives. The incorrect prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3. In James chapter 4, verse 2. Please read those scriptures later. Or you pray with no faith. You do not have faith. Well, that's why you do not receive answers. Right? What did Paul say? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You must pray in faith. But you pray without faith. You don't have faith at all. And just like you're praying to an idol. You pray in that physical state, in that state of a non-believer. That's why you do not receive answers to prayer. Then, how must we pray from now? How? Number 3. What must our prayer topic be? Hold on to God's covenant. Hold on to God's word. Hold on to God's word and pray. Same with new families and all the believers. When you teach prayer to them, what prayer must you pray the most? In detail. What is this covenant prayer? It's three offices of Christ. True prophet, true priest, true king. The one who defeated Satan, the way to meet God, and breaking down the authority of hell in the name of Jesus Christ. A prayer of thanksgiving. Pray that the most. And second prayer, your status and authority, enjoyment of your status and authority. Now that you have been saved, 100% you are children of God. God is responsible, he will guide you. Whatever you pray in his name, seek and you'll receive. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what God said. I'm the grapevine, you are the branch. We are the branch. So what must we hold on to? We have to stick on to the tree, to the bark, right? The tree. And according to the time schedule, we will bear fruit. So stick to the covenant. Don't look at your reality. Don't look at if it's going to work or not. Don't think from your standard. God has called you as the evangelist to do Japan, evangelist to do world evangelization. Because of that work, God has called you. So stay in the covenant. And stick to that covenant then. The time schedule will come where you bear fruit. You will bear fruit. That's the prayer that you must pray. Should I do this? Methods? Should I do that? Don't even think about that. Then how can I live in this world? See God's word and follow what God gave you, what God prepared for you. That's why you have to receive grace through the word of God. Then you have to hold on to God's correct covenant. Christians have learned prayer incorrectly, and I was like that as well in the past. And if you do not pray, all you think about is the worldly methods. And I thought that was prayer. But I did not know that was the path for destruction. And that's how Satan is using our thoughts. So, through the pastor, God is giving us a spiritual message to us. Then listen to that message and quickly restore your spirituality. and examine, am I praying the incorrect prayer diligently? Or am I truly praying the covenant prayer right now? Every day, enjoy your status and authority in prayer. It seems that you're just living your life for your jobs. You might not feel it and you cannot see it. But in the background, Holy Spirit isn't the only one working. Satan is always working, trying to make you fall down through the small gaps that you have. That's why in your workplace, pray to break down the force of darkness. But we can't break down the force of darkness. That's why we pray that God will mobilize heavenly angels to our workplace and the Holy Spirit will work. And that's when the work and everything will take place. Even among your spouses, you don't just say things that you don't... You don't just say things that you want to say to them or say things that from your emotion. Because Satan is working in that background. You can't just say anything to your children, right? Because Satan can work through those words that you say to them. That's why enjoy the prayer of pray the prayer of enjoy the gospel. Every single day. If you do not enjoy the gospel, Satan uses that small gaps that we have and quickly lowers your spiritual state. But thankfully, we are in a church where we proclaim the gospel and you receive grace, so you have been able to sustain up until now, right? Your spiritual world is not something we can understand or see with our knowledge, with what our experience is. We can only see it through the words of the gospel, or we can see it only through the word of God. Only the covenant is the way to see the spiritual realm. So, the more you know the spiritual things of God, you'll know how much Satan is working against you. That's why Paul said, fight against that. That's the answer to prayer. Just not being deceived by Satan itself is a great answer. Being to fight itself is a great answer. Just changing your spiritual state itself is amazing answers. But instead of these answers, you desire cash, right? Then these messages might not be much of a help to you if you desire those cash. But you're happy when cash comes to you, right? When money falls upon your laps. Right, due to Corona, the government's going to give us $1,000, right? And I'm sure all of you are very hopeful of that money to come to you. You're not that hopeful of this message, right? It's meaningless to you. Only that, that $1,000, right? I'm sure some of you are like that. Incorrect. What must you do? It's not about the $10,000. Moment by moment, there is this Satan that makes us fail, that makes us lose hold of all the spiritual mystery of God, that make us lose hold of the blessings of God, make us fall into the physical things. You have to defeat those forces of darkness. That is why God gave us the right of the child of God, the authority of the child of God. So, he's telling us to live in the background of God's kingdom. So, the status prayer is amazing prayer. And there's the five assurances. The assurance prayer. Confess these five assurances every single day. I am the child of God. In front of my problems, I am the child of God. Assurance. God's going to guide me. Assurance. I am going to be victorious. Assurance. And instead of me, God forgiven everything. He finished everything. Assurance. You have to have these assurances. That is prayer. The content of prayer. And there's a seven cores of the Bible. Genesis 1:3, Genesis 3:15. Genesis 6:14, Exodus 3:18, Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 6:16, Acts 1:3-8. With these core messages, they were able to break down all the forces of darkness, revive everything, and emancipate from everything, and save the age. So every day with the seven cores, you must be emancipated. and be victorious. And if you have time, pray with the pulpit message, the prayer journal message, all the messages, headquarter messages. Whenever you listen to the message, hold on to the main point, the core of that message, and look up to God. And pray that this covenant will be fulfilled in my life. Just thinking about that, all the forged darkness will be bound. All disaster curse that's working upon you will be gone. Because God's so pleased. That's why God gave us the key. Right? God gave us the key to pray. To receive these answers. Right? Setting a time and praying for this is what we call scheduled prayer. And always thinking about this to God is continuous prayer. Right? Moment by moment, you're thinking about this, that's continuous prayer. When you're in difficulty, in your hardship, your spiritual state, your mental state is all the physical things, the worldly things. To quickly be restored from that, you concentrate to God, right? Then that's the concentration prayer. It's at that time you receive God's, when you receive grace. That moment, all the spirituality is restored. That is when everything is also restored. That is what we call prayer. Do you understand? And so this week, please enjoy the mystery of prayer. Next week is about the authority. Now we possess the authority. Right? Life, the Holy Spirit, and then key, and next week is authority. Now you have to use your authority. And please have a time of prayer this week. God's going to restore you, your spirituality, so that you can help others to come back to the Lord as well. That's what God desires. When you enjoy this prayer, then you can truly evangelize. You have to save people. You're giving this message to them, right? Please enjoy this blessing. Let's pray in one voice for 1 minute. How did you listen to God's voice today? I possess the key where I will be answered. So let's first seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Pray the spiritual prayer. Let's pray in one voice at this time. Let's pray.